Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So growing up, my horse, Hank, was a wily old cow horse. He wasn't the prettiest horse. He was an old sorrel with a splash of white in the forehead, not built like the nice rangy quarter horses that looked the part. He was kind of angular and ugly. But Hank, again, was wily and full of surprises. So one summer, we're keeping Hank and three other horses, Concho, Sweet Pea, and Smokey, in the Quonset. And the Quonset is this massive tin building connected to the barn. It's its own kind of barn, teal and white, tin. It's large enough that if you pressed it, you could have probably 100 head of livestock underneath its roof. And inside the Quonset, dark as a tomb, is a haystack on one side with a fence protecting it from the animals, and feed bunks on the opposite side. Now, of course, not being the wealthiest of ranchers, my dad had got some budget hay from the interstate. They had baled it up alongside the interstate, which meant it was a bit moldy, and there was plenty of twine and trash in the hay. So the Quonset, not the greatest place. After time, if you didn't clean it regularly with a tractor, the amount of animal fecal matter could multiply and the stench could be somewhat unbearable. So one afternoon, we'd been keeping the horses there in the afternoons because we were getting the cattle in around the area every day for some different procedures. One afternoon, my mom looks out the kitchen window, and there's Hank and all the horses outside the Quonset, chomping on green grass. Hank's wrinkled gray lips are pulling each green blade into his mouth. My mom, quirking up her face, like, how did the horses get out? So, because there are cattle nearby, she goes and she pushes them back into the Quonset. The gate is open, so she shuts the gate. The next day, she looks out the window again, and there's Hank and the other three horses outside the Quonset eating green grass in the sunshine. Now my mom's starting to really wonder, like, what is going on? Once he gets them in, the gate is wide open. So she stops and stands by the haystack and watches. And it isn't long before wily old Hank walks past all of the moldy hay with little bits of trash in it, walks by all the piles of manure, stops in front of the gate, puts his velvet nose under the latch, flips his head up, and the latch flips open, and he bumps the gate with his head, and it swings wide open. And he walks out into the sunshine. And the little mare, Sweet Pea, sees what's going on. She races to one end of the Quonset, gets the other two, Smokey and Concho, and they come and tiptoe up to the gate that's open and kind of stare at it, puzzling for a moment, and then they too head out into the sunshine, into liberty, freedom from the tomb-like Quonset. Well, this morning, sisters and brothers, we are all penned up with the horses in that dark Quonset. That tomb. St. Paul tells us in his epistle to the Ephesians that we are all born dead in our trespasses and sins. From primal times, all human beings are born to die, for the wages of sin is death. We live in a cramped Quonset world. We live in death's arena. We chomp on sin's moldy hay, laced with twine and trash, and we know no different. This is great stuff, that Kit Kat wrapper makes my breakfast just a little more chewy than it would normally be. It's great. It's amazing. A little bit of chocolate. Our eyes are accustomed to the dark, but even still, it's hard to see what is good and what is evil in this dark tomb. We're used to lying down in centuries of our own manure. We're used to the smell of death. Smell of death. We don't like it. We fear it. We race around the boundaries of death's tin quonset. But it is what it is. Death is death. And so we live in fear, avoiding the terrible reality of the quonset and chewing on the subpar hay. It's all there is. Might as well make the best of it and ignore the inevitable. We chew on anything that will take our minds off of the end. We chew on the way our neighbor's Jeep manages just to block enough of our driveway that it's a pain to get out. The anger that we keep rehearsing all day long. We chew on how life hasn't gone our way. It's not what we expected, not what we had hoped for. We chew on the deliciousness of our worry. Where would we be without all those things to worry about? We chew on the salacious gossip about our neighbor. So exciting! Anything to not have to think about the reality of the quonset. This is it. The tin walls will die here. But on the first day of the week, Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago, the red sorrel ordinary horse does something strange. Christ Jesus does something strange. He ignores the musty hay. He walks past centuries of defecation. He approaches the gates of death. He positions his velvet nose under the latch. He throws his head back. And the latch of death flips open. And with his starred forehead, he bumps the gate. He bumps the gate, and Jesus walks out of death's quonset into sunshine and into the fields of life. On the first day of the week. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene rises early, and it's still dark, and she glances around life's quonset, and Jesus' body is gone. Gone. And the gate is open. And she's racing over to a couple other disciples, Peter and John. And then they're there together, staring at the open gate, puzzling over it, trying to make sense of what has happened. Where is Jesus' body? Why is the gate open? St. John tells the story this morning. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran. She ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then ran out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying and the napkin, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their own homes. Where is the dead Jesus? Where is the dead Jesus trapped in sin's tin quonset? Why is the gate open? And what does it all mean? Sisters and brothers, it means that Jesus opens the gate. We are no longer trapped in death's quonset. We no longer have to eat sin's trashy, musty hay. We no longer have to lie down to die in our own feces. We are free to live now and forever. Death's gate stands open. We don't have to sin, and we don't have to be afraid of death. Our collect this morning highlights that promise. Almighty God, thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, hast overcome death and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life. Jesus Christ opens the gate. He's outside in the bright sunlight of the divine life, meandering among the patches of grass. His wrinkled gray lips tug the green blades into his mouth. Jesus lives, even now, eternal life, resurrection life. And he's never going back into that stupid Quonset. He's free. St. Paul puts it this way. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. And because Jesus is alive, we who are united with him in our baptismal faith are already alive. Maybe you are living in some fear this morning. Fear of death, fear of a beloved's death. Maybe you are settling for sin, subpar hay, baled on the interstate, budget hay with the trash and twine interlaced in it. But the gate's open. In Jesus, we already live in the green pastures. We don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to eat sin's hay or smell the rank manure of centuries of death. Our epistle reading reminds us that we are already free to live in the sunshine. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Jesus opens the gate. He opens the gate to everlasting life. This is the Easter reality of who we are. This is our destiny, to leave the Quonset behind, to no longer be cramped in that dirty, dark place, but to be free. Come live in the sunshine of Jesus' resurrection, even now. Live in the sunshine now and have a taste of the sunshine at the last trumpet, when all things are made new, when the ground shakes and the new blooms of reality come into being. When the dead are raised, finally, and all things are made new. For Jesus has opened that gate. He has broken down the bars of death so that we might have life eternal. And that is good news. For Jesus is our gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.